the Lord. We're going to sing one more chorus in a moment, praise God. And shake hands with everyone beside you and say, the Lord bless you.
God bless you, Elijah.
God bless you, praise God. Amen. And we give all our visitors a warm welcome. The Lord bless you. We have a few of our own folks who's away on holidays, but the Lord bless them as well. And the Lord bless each one that's come. And it's especially a privilege to have our brother John McFadden from USA and his wife and family. I think this is a son. I thought he looks like your brother. And the Lord bless you. And our brother John's going to be ministering for us this morning and this evening. And we're going to be meeting again this evening at 6 o'clock. And everyone's welcome, and bring in as many as you can. I know it's an hour where it's hard to get people to come in, but we appreciate those that's come. And we're looking to the Lord this morning. And I want our brother John to take his liberty this morning. Whatever the Lord's laid on his heart, I want him to preach it. And whatever he feels how long to preach. I don't preach long, but I'm not telling him not to preach long. Just you preach for whatever you want, brother. And you pull on the, you know, it's you that pulls. If you're quiet and you have no enthusiasm, it's hard to preach. But as you hunger and pull on the Word of God, God will help the preacher to preach. You know, there's a fella came to Ireland one time, wasn't this assembly, but he came to another assembly and he preached for 2 hours. And he told the minister afterwards, he says, I preach till I feel the anointing. He says to me, what do you think of that, Brother Tom? I says, no, I preach under the anointing, and when it leaves, I stop. But he preached for 2 hours. He said he preached till he felt the anointing. Then he got started. Well, he's about 2 hours getting started. John Noble used to say, bore till you get oil. Praise God. We're going to sing when his wounded hand touched mine. As a brother prepares to come, praise God. The Lord bless each one. It's really good to have you here, brother. And the Lord bless you and sister as well. And all the brethren. It's good to have you here and good to see you again. Just a pity it wasn't for longer. And let's sing that, brother. Let's sing it in an attitude of worship. I want you really to mean it as you sing it. You know, the Lord can heal you while you sing it, if you believe it. If it's just words, nothing will happen. But it's from your heart. God can do it. Amen. Let's sing it unto the Lord this morning.
Down your hand and you touch me, Lord. And Lord, I've never been the same since, Lord. And I know you're a real God, and I know you're here today. And I ask you to bless each one today, Lord. Lift us up in the heavenly places, Lord. Take control of my being, Father. Use your unworthy, unprofitable servant, Lord. Bless your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe seated for a moment. God bless you. It's good to see you all here, Tom and everybody, and John and Gary and Ruth have been taking good care of us in their home and their wonderful children. And, you know, I feel at home in Ireland, even though I wasn't born here, because my mom and dad were born here in Ireland. And dad was born in Donegal, and mom was born in Galway. And they were Catholic people, but don't hold that against them. They were good people. And, you know, coming to the northern part of Ireland, you know, it's my dad, you know, didn't understand a lot of things. And my mom and dad have passed on, but he thought when the Lord touched me and I left Catholicism that I joined the enemy. Because there's only, you know, one or the other in his mind. You know, you're Catholic or you're not. You're one of them, you know. And I remember talking to my dad one day. I said, "Dad, I love you. I said, I'd never hurt you for anything. I respect you and I appreciate you. And I found something, Dad. I found something much, much greater, you know." And I tried to talk to my mom and dad. And, you know, I realized one thing today, though. Gerald and Bridget McFadden, they were my natural parents, but I have another father. Because I was born from above. And my family really is not my natural family. It's the family of the Church of the Firstborn. And no matter where you go around the world, when you meet people that are born again, you realize you've met your family. And so I appreciate being here. And I don't want to take a lot of time. And, you know, like Tom, I don't typically preach long. And, you know, I'll tell you a story about that. When we first, in the Philadelphia area, the States, started having services, there was no pastor. I wasn't preaching. And this guy, people would come through and they would preach a really long time, I guess to show everything they had, you know, or just preach all they got. And I remember one time I was late for work, and you know, it was kind of hard just to walk out of the service because the way it was, I was late for work, and you preach about 6 hours, and I have no idea what he said after the meeting. You know? Just walked out of there scratching my head, and I thought, well, okay, you know, what can you do? But for me, I love the simple gospel. And I think that we should understand what's being said. I had a good friend in North Carolina, Brother Adam Knight, and we're like opposites completely, like in human nature, but we're buddies, you know. Like he's an evangelist, he's just house on fire on a windy day, you know, and I can't be what he is, and he can't be what I am, but we love each other. And he said, "John," he says, "when I was a little kid, we would go down to the swimming hole there and jump in the water." He says, we got to this one creek one day, and it was real clear. And we thought it was real shallow because it was real clear. But when we jumped in, it was really deep. It's just that we could see all the way to the bottom." He said, "another place we went to was kind of cloudy, and we jumped in head first and we got our head stuck in the mud because it was real shallow." And that's the way it kind of is sometimes, you know. Something that appears mysterious, sometimes there's not much there. But something that's actually really simple can be very deep. Just look at the old rugged cross. I mean, I can't, you know, being raised Catholic with ceremony and traditions and praying to Mary and all that, we used to kneel around, pray the rosary and things like that. I tell you, when I finally saw that old rugged cross, you're not going to get my arms off of that. You know, so, you know, we come out of denominationalism, and we believe that God did send a message in this hour. But I'm not coming out of denominationalism to go into some other kind of denominationalism. I want that old-fashioned. That old-fashioned, the old-time religion. So I won't keep you. Let's stand and read a scripture. I'm allowed to take this off, right? I don't even know why we bring a jacket, you know. It's tradition, I guess. Let's bow our heads before we read His Word again. Father, Lord, you see my heart, Lord, you know I'm nothing in myself. But we love you today, and we invite you to come to break open the bread of life to us. Lord, I have no idea what your people need today, but I ask you to come and touch each one, Lord. There's someone here, there's many here, Lord, that need something from you, and I just ask that you bless them, and bless the pastor and all the church here. Help them, O God. Bless the reading of your word now. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read just a couple verses from Jude. And I'm going to read, start at verse 2 and just read 2 and 3. Very familiar scriptures to us, and I don't expect you to hear anything new today. Book of Jude, verse 2, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You may be seated. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Well, it was on my heart to come here, actually, and Tommy and I met in Australia, and we had good fellowship, and Brother John was there, and after that, I think I was here one time in a midweek service or a Sunday night, or Tommy said something about coming back a couple years ago, and it was on my heart all last year, and I was so busy, and I just couldn't make it happen. So finally, I did reach out to Tom, so don't blame him if you don't like it. And today, and I said, hey, we're coming by if you want us to speak, you know. And I don't normally do that, to be honest with you. I don't like to call people and kind of invite yourself, but it was on my heart. You know, and you have to go as you're led, right? Yeah. And so, and I have no idea what you need. My desire is to encourage you. To help you, because I believe that you believe what's right. And, you know, sometimes we need encouragement. I actually believe we're living in a very discouraging time. Right. And, you know, many saints have their hands hanging down, and we need to lift up the hands that hang down. And so it's just my desire. I don't have anything new, because I like the simple gospel myself. And I love the very simple things about the message of the hour and the Bible. So just want to encourage you to believe that all things are possible. You know, we're not here to walk by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. But, you know, I've thought about it. Many times, the reason we get discouraged is we're trusting what we can see with our eyes, not what we see by faith. If we see the promises and we focus on the promises, see, we'll be encouraged.
Amen.
So, recently, we had a meeting back home. A couple churches came together, and a simple thought came on my heart about contending for the faith, and just I couldn't get away from it, really. So I'm just going to share some thoughts. And back there, we took a busload of people and went to Gettysburg. I don't imagine you ever heard of Gettysburg, but some of you might have heard of Gettysburg. Okay, it was one of the key battles in the Civil War, and it's only a couple hours from where we live. And I like to go there. We went there with the children, and we would see all the memorials and hear the stories. But one of the things that really strikes me about Gettysburg was this battlefield. Is the men who fought that battle had real courage. They were actually ready to die for the cause. Now, in the North and the South, you know, you can argue about their cause, whether it was right or wrong. But to me, I admire that soldier, that foot soldier that was willing to die for his cause. Because to me, when I look to Jesus, he was willing to die to take our place. And I'm sure, like, Like me, you like to think about Jesus. I love to think about Jesus.
Amen.
Because I believe He's God.
Right.
Not the second person of a Trinity.
Yeah.
But the Bible says the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Amen.
And I love to think about that because to me, God is so great, He made this whole universe. So God is really big, but He humbled Himself to come down here to live as Jesus. And I love to think about that. This great God, you know, He didn't have to humble Himself, but He chose to humble Himself. And actually, I believe He is humble. Which is actually a contradiction if you think about it, because He could brag if He wanted to. Right? I mean, really, He's the only one that could be proud and be justified in that. But He's not proud. And I love that scripture in Isaiah where it says, "Thou art a God and thou hidest thyself." You know that scripture? God hides Himself. Why does He do that? I don't know, but He does. See, this being, Almighty God, He's so great, but He makes Himself so little. And to me, that's attractive to me. Somebody that has the ability to humble Himself like that. Now we find amongst human beings, many times people trying to make themselves big. Right? Instead of making themselves little, they try to make themselves more than what they are. But yet, if the Holy Spirit is really in us, I feel that that Holy Spirit will cause us to humble ourselves as well. Don't you think? If He lives in us.
Amen.
And so, here He was, God. He left His glory. And He came down and humbled Himself as a man. And He was tempted like us in all things. And He was willing to die so that we could have eternal life. And I marvel at that. Not just a man, not just a prophet, but God.
Amen.
And see, God's so big we can't understand it, but when He made that person of Jesus, He made something we could understand and look on. So I believe Jesus is the very heart of God. The very heart of God. Because if you look into God and the Word of God, and we all do, you can see judgment, and you can see justice, and sometimes you see law, but you also see mercy. There's many things. You see love.
Amen.
God's love. And I believe Jesus was a display of the heart of God. And what was Jesus? He was a Savior, first of all.
Amen.
I mean, He came. They did a play back home. I took John to the Sight and Sound place, and they did a play recently called Jesus. It said, "The Greatest Rescue Story." I like that. Because He came to rescue.
Right.
He came to heal.
Yes.
And to save. And to forgive. And we can't ever forget what the heart of God is. And let's not get... And we become something that maybe is a heart of God. But what is the heart of God is to save people.
Amen.
Not to
Amen.
Condemn people.
Amen.
So, I like to think about that. And, you know, I love this end time message. And Brother Branham preached a wonderful sermon, "Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed."
Amen.
If you've never heard it, it's just wonderful. I'm sure you heard it. But he says, right in the beginning of the scripture, he says, "In this sermon is everything I've ever taught in the tabernacle, all down through the days of the tabernacle. This is what it's about. Christ is the mystery of God revealed."
Amen.
And in there, he talked about the great threefold purpose of God. First, God wanted to reveal Himself in Jesus Christ. And he did that, right? And He did a wonderful job, isn't He? When we see Jesus, we understand God. And then the second fold purpose was to have preeminence in a body of believers. That involves you and I. Preeminence. That's why the Holy Ghost is always pushing us away from our flesh towards yielding to what He desires, right? Because He wants to have preeminence in us. And then the third was to restore Eden back to what it was before the fall. Wouldn't you like to be there?
Amen.
I think we're headed there. And we're going there. And we have a desire for that. So, In that sermon, I'm just going to, just little bits of what Brother Ann said. He said in there about Jesus, He is the principal theme of the Bible. If you read the Bible and don't see Christ in every verse of it, go back and read it again. See, if you can't see Christ in every verse of the Bible, then read it again because you missed something. Praise God.
Amen.
He says the Bible is Christ. He is the Word. When you read, in the beginning God created, He said, there's Christ. See? And from the Amen and Revelations, every word testifying of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So in other words, He's saying, like, if you read your Bible and it starts to point to somewhere else besides Jesus, then you misunderstood it. Another place, another sermon, He says, every Old Testament prophecy pointed straight to Calvary. Every New Testament prophecy points back to the finished work at Calvary. And then listen to what He says. And why would we here in the last days try to point off to something else? It wouldn't be right. It would be wrong. So the whole Old Testament is pointing to Calvary. Everything since then is pointing back to Calvary, including the message of the hour, pointing back to Calvary. So the devil hates Calvary. Because that's where we're saved, by what He did for us. Praise the Lord. All things you see back there pointed to the cross, and all since then, this is Brother Rand's word, all since then points back to the cross. You know, when I read the message, it does point back to the cross.
Yes, right.
But sometimes when I hear other people talk about the message, they're pointing somewhere else. And I'm saying, where did they get that from? That's not what He said.
Right.
Praise the Lord. And then I like to talk about Saul, who became Paul. Because certainly he was a champion. Chosen by God. You know, none of us would have picked him. No way. If we were back there, he was persecuting the Christians. But see, God usually chooses somebody we wouldn't choose. And you know, I think about the bride in this age. Listen, I mean, we wouldn't even pick ourselves for the bride. You know, but God picks His own bride. Picks His own, see? And so, Paul was a chosen vessel. And most of the New Testament written by Paul, he was the first church age messenger, we know that. But he actually fought against the church that he was ordained to help. Until he was on the road to Damascus and a light appeared. I love this story, don't you?
Amen.
Here he was full of knowledge of the Word. Thought he knew, he thought he was right. He was religious as can be. He was passionate as can be. But he was fighting against the very thing he was called to help. Until Jesus came to him, knocked him off his high horse, and gave him a real experience. Praise God. You know, I think we could use more of that kind of experience. See, I believe Paul understood more about God in just a few minutes' time than all the years of his study. See, all that studying wasn't necessarily a bad thing. But he lacked that main thing, that connection with God, that experience. And we know that the new birth, the born-again experience, is a literal experience with God. It's not a head knowledge. It's not just saying, I agree. No, you must be born again of the Spirit of God. You must have an experience with God that you know that you know that you know because you were there. Praise God. We need more of that today.
Amen.
You know, I think a few minutes in the presence of God today would do more than all the years of studying this message. Because a lot of people study this message for a long time and they're so far away from, I think, what's real. They need a real experience with God.
Amen.
We all do.
Amen.
God gave Paul power and mighty revelation. He wrote his revelation, the gospel. The four gospels tell what Jesus did and what He said. Portions of it, but then Paul was ordained. Now think of the magnitude of this ministry. And I want you to know, if you listen to what Brother Branham said, he exalted Paul's ministry. Never ever did he diminish Paul's ministry. You look through the message. And Paul was ordained to explain the meaning of Jesus coming. You know, think about Brother Branham's ministry. The devil cannot change that God sent a prophet to this generation. Can't. But what he does do is change the meaning of it. He tries to change what it meant and things like that. So people are baptizing in the name of William Branham. Where do they get that from? They get it from a spirit that's not the Holy Spirit that comes to pervert thinking and point away to something. Like recently I was preaching up in New York City, Brother Von Karian, and I preached a sermon called Hail Mary, believe it or not. Hail Mary. You know, I grew up praying the rosary, you know? And if you look at the Hail Mary prayer, and I don't know if there's any Catholics here, but I was raised Catholic. Everybody I love is Catholic. So I'm not against Catholic people, and we shouldn't be. But that prayer, see, part of it lines up with Scripture really close. But then the second part of it's really bad. You know, Holy Mary, Mother of God, that's not in the Bible. Of course, that was another spirit. And look what it was doing. The devil could not change that Jesus was created in the womb of a virgin. He couldn't change that supernatural event. But what he did afterwards is he said, I'll just change the meaning of it. I'll just take the focus off of Jesus and put it on Mary, the vessel that God used to bring forth Jesus. So they just change. The devil, he doesn't care. He just wants to change a little bit. He just wants the focus to be a little wrong. That's why we must contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Because we are in a literal war battle today. The devil just trying to change our focus just a little bit so that he can destroy the power of it and the effectiveness of it. We're contending for the faith. So Paul, to me, I see Paul's ministry is exalted. And Galatians chapter 1, you know the scripture, I'll just read to you. Verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which was preached we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. It seems like some people around the message took that part out of the Bible, I think. I don't know. Because it's still in the Bible, and it's still part of the message of the hour, that there is only one gospel, and it's the original gospel. And Brother Branham didn't come to bring a new gospel. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So Paul understood his position. He understood what he was called to do, to the place that he said, if any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. That still applies today.
Amen.
See? So we understand Jesus spoke to Peter and he said, when Peter had a revelation of who he was, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who does man say? And Peter said, and Jesus said, blessed art thou, Peter, right? Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed it unto you. And upon this rock I'll build my church. And we know the rock was not Peter. The rock is not Ian. Sorry. He's the rock, right?
Amen.
That was a joke. I'm sorry. Peter's not the rock. Ian's not the rock. I'm not the rock, right? Jesus is not the rock. The rock of revelation.
Amen.
Is the revelation that Peter had of who Jesus was.
Amen.
That's really important. And you know, the devil heard that so much in this day. But today, so much of what is called revelation doesn't seem to line up with the original gospel. Anybody can say they have revelation, but if it doesn't line up with the original, then I'm sorry, let him be accursed, the Bible says.
Amen.
See? If it doesn't point to Calvary, but it's pointing to something else,
right.
I'm not interested.
Amen.
I don't know if you, I've sat in meetings where people start talking about not needing the blood and this and all that, and I'm sitting there, I just want to get out of here.
Amen.
So-called deep revelation. Jumping up and down, I'm sitting there, God have mercy. I need the blood.
Amen.
I need Calvary. I need a Savior every day.
Amen.
And what they're saying is not what Brother Branham was teaching. They may use a quote, they may even say the words that he said, but they're projecting a meaning that wasn't in his mind. Because it's different than the original gospel. Praise God. Now, I'm not telling you anything new. I'm just here to encourage you that we're contending for that original faith. So the purpose of the end time message was not to bring a new gospel. It was a restoration message.
Amen.
I will restore, saith the Lord. What was he to restore? Here's where the devil has, he just likes to get in there. He can't stop what happened, but he's going to change the meaning of it. The restoration of the hour was not the word. There's nothing wrong with the word of God. There's nothing wrong with the original gospel. The restoration was our faith to be restored back to the original. That's why we're contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Nowhere will you find, I know it's popular to say restored word and all this, but Brother Graham didn't teach that. He said Elijah came in the last days, Malachi 4, to restore our faith back to the original, because there was nothing wrong with the word of God, and there never will be anything wrong with the word of God. Our Bible is our absolute. Our quote book should be the prophet's quote book, which is the Bible. And if we can't find his teachings in the scriptures, we ought to leave it alone. Contending for the faith that was once delivered. Praise God. I love that. We're fighting for something.
Yes. Amen.
Because what matters the most is what we believe. Do you realize that? I think a long time ago I preached here about the 11th hour worker. And, you know, in the end of the day, it's not about what we do. It's about what God has done for us.
Amen.
It's about what we believe.
Amen.
About what Jesus did for us. So much of our focus, though, is about what we have to do and what we did and what we're supposed to do and this and that. But in the end of the day, it's really going to be about what you believe. What do you believe about it? See, because if you have perverted faith, that's bad. That's really bad. God help us. So, if our faith becomes perverted, then God cannot produce in us what He wants to produce. So we have to have the original faith. And that's why I believe God sent a restoration message to restore our faith back to the original so He could produce a Book of Acts church.
Amen.
A church just like the Book of Acts. Isn't that our expectation?
Amen.
Now, look at in Genesis. I love, if you read in Genesis, and you probably had heard this before, but it really struck me when I first heard it. In Genesis, it says, "And God said," right? "And God said," you know, "let there be light." "And God said, let this spring forth," right?
Amen.
"And God said," "and God said," "and God said." You read that in Genesis, right? Who was he talking to? God speaking. Who was he talking to? If you read Genesis and go back, God was speaking, His word was going out to the material that would bring forth what He said.
Amen.
Think about that. God's word was sent, and you know, it will not return void. His word went out. He transformed this world that was dark and void by His word and by His spirit. How does He transform us? We could be dark and empty and void of anything. And by His word and by His spirit, He transforms our lives from nothing into something wonderful. By His word and by His spirit. The word comes to the material. See, it's not a little thing to receive the word of God. Because that word cannot return void. So if you believe and you have clarity, simple faith, and you can see and you have a clear understanding of the Word of God, and the Gospel comes to you into your mind and into your heart, and you can say amen, that's very big, because that Word and the Spirit of God working with that is going to produce sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
That's what God wants. God doesn't want another denomination. He doesn't want a bunch of know-it-all people. He doesn't want a bunch of arrogant people. He wants sons and daughters. Like that. Producing, manifesting God.
Amen.
Praise God. High breeding is one of the worst things that happens. When people high breed the Word of God, it brings death. Now listen, I know some farmers, and there are a lot of farmers here probably, when you use a hybrid corn or whatever, it tastes really good, doesn't it? I ever have hybrid corn? I mean, I have a farmer buddy, he produces corn for the cows. He's a dairy farmer. And of course, that corn for the cows is just regular corn, sturdy, and it reproduces itself every year, but it doesn't taste the same as the hybrid corn. The hybrid corn is bigger, it's more beautiful, and it tastes better, but it can't reproduce itself.
Amen. Amen.
See, and that's the problem around the message. There's a lot of hybridism going on. That you're taking the Word of God, taking the message of the hour, mixing man's ideas, and it looks so wonderful. People go, amen, amen, amen. And it can't reproduce Jesus Christ. I'm not interested in the guesses of men. I'm not interested in man's ideas. I want God's original Word. Because it's only the original Word that's going to reproduce Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise.
The original. What did 1 Corinthians chapter 2 say? He said, I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom. See, there's so much wisdom today. Everybody wants to be smarter than the other guy. Everybody wants to come out with some new revelation, some new idea. I want something old. Don't give me something new. I want the old-fashioned original gospel. Give me that old-time religion. That's good enough for me. Give people an old-fashioned Pentecostal experience. Baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Let tongues of fire hang over on their head. Let them speak in other languages because they can't help it. Let it be today. Would it be all right with you? Really, would it be all right with you if there came in a sound of a mighty rushing wind and it filled all the house where they're sitting, and tongues of fire hell, and you tried to speak in your Irish accent and another language came out, like American or something, or Spanish or French, or you know, it is interesting that, you know, I was working with an English guy, and we were working with a bunch of Europeans, and he would say things in his accent, his English accent. And I said, well, that's not how you really say it. He says, hey, it's our language. And I said, let's put a stop to this right now. All you Europeans, who's easier to understand, me or him? Well, I won that, you see, because I think he might have been Scottish or I don't know what. I went all over to Europe, and I would call the hotels for training. And the French lady, she could speak English, and I understood her. And the Spanish lady could speak, I understood her. You know where I'm going. The Italian lady speak. But when I called the Scottish people, I couldn't understand a word she was saying. And she was supposed to be speaking English. God help us. Sorry, there's no place for joking. But I would that you all spoke in tongues. You know, some people try to belittle the gifts of the Spirit, but that's a mistake. Brother Branham said, we need all nine spiritual gifts operating in each local assembly. And you know, we don't want to really see that, but we don't go by sight. We believe it. We believe it. It's in God's job to manifest it. So don't manufacture anything, but you believe it with all your heart. Don't let the devil come. Here's the trick of the devil in this age. He comes in and steals the expectation of the people. Gives them some kind of false reasoning to reason away the supernatural. God is supernatural.
Amen.
You're a child of God, you have a right to believe in the supernatural. Luke looks like me because he's my son, right? Sorry, buddy. But he's got same eyes and nose, and so he looks like his daddy because And if you're a child of God, you have a right to believe in the supernatural because God is supernatural.
That's the truth. Amen.
And don't ever let anybody steal that expectation of a supernatural God from you. That's God-given. Praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing, though, that some end-time so-called preaching with such deep revelation seems to have the result of stealing away the expectation of the supernatural by belittling it? Brother Branham never did that.
Amen.
Never did that. For 1 Thessalonians, for our gospel came not to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you first say. See, the gospel is not just teaching, is it? We are contending for the original faith. The original gospel. And the original gospel was not just teaching. So the end time message, when it becomes just teaching with a belittling of the supernatural, that's not the same gospel. I've had people say to me, well, Brother John, you're still in the first pool. We're in the third pool. Yeah, you're still in the... Yeah, like belittling.
Yes.
I said, what are you saying? You're saying in the third pool you don't believe in the supernatural no more? We're beyond that. We're beyond that. We got the Word. Here's the gifts. And here's the Word. We're higher. We're beyond that. Say, wait a minute. We're beyond justification, aren't we? We still need that, don't we? Did Brother Branham take away justification? Did he take away sanctification? We need that more than ever. A sanctified holiness life, right? The restoration of the gifts, he never took that away. That's the devil taking that away. Because he hates the supernatural. Right? What happened on the day of Pentecost? They preached, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, 3,000 souls were saved. The prophet said the devil stayed in bed. That's right. Look it up. But when they went by the gate called Beautiful and said, silver and gold have I none. Such as I have give I you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. All the devils went after them then. Because they said, listen, we can fool them with preaching and stuff. But when that supernatural thing lets loose, we got to stop that. Pray. We're contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Never let somebody destroy your expectations of the supernatural. Doesn't matter what you see, it matters what you believe. See, I believe we have a promise in this hour. God is going to finish this thing perfectly. He's not going to finish it with theology. He's going to finish it with His power. Remember the bride coming into preview? That first church looked exactly like the last one. Praise God.
Amen.
Filled with power.
Glory.
Filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Signs and wonders and miracles.
Glory.
And we got people with so-called revelation belittling that. I don't need that kind of revelation.
Glory.
That's not the original revelation.
Amen.
So much is called revelation today. It's crazy. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
But you know, I still have in me, I still want to love that man that's wrong. And we should love everybody.
Amen.
If you know you're right, there's no argument. It's the people that debate, see? They're not sure they're right. They're trying to prove they're right to the other guy. But when you know you're right, you can humble yourself. It's like Brother Branham had that man in the car and he said, the Greek scholar, remember? He said, Brother Branham, you got to know the Bible in Greek or else you can't read the Bible. And Brother Branham joking, he said, oh, you're speaking in tongues to me. I don't understand that. And he says, oh, Brother Branham, you don't even know your Bible. So he was belittling Brother Branham, the prophet of God.
Yeah.
So what did Brother Branham do? Did he debate? Did he argue and say, I'll tell you, I'll show you? He said, that's right, brother.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That guy said to Brother Branham, you don't even know your Bible. That's an insult.
Yeah.
But, you know, Brother Branham knew who he was. So he was able to say, that's right, brother. But I know the author real well.
Amen.
It's not knowing the Word is life, it's knowing Him is life. And when you know Him, it doesn't matter what anybody says about you. Praise God. How many times did Brother Branham say, Mark 16, John 14, 12, these signs shall follow them lead. He that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also. Praise God. You believe that?
Amen.
See, there's a way to test it. When sickness comes into your home, do you go, oh well, not much we can do? Or do you say, sickness, bring that one over here. You have no right in our home. Now don't yell at the kids. It's not their fault they're sick, right? But you yell at the devil and you lay your hands and you explain to the kids, we have authority from God to cast out sickness.
Amen.
And you pray and you believe. We don't see God move because we don't expect Him to move. We put too much trust in other things. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Excuse me. Praise the Lord. I'm not mad. I'm happy, actually. I'm very happy to be here. And I really love you. I feel love in my heart. I think that's what it was. Love wanted me to come here just to encourage you.
Amen.
And to contend for the faith. And I know you are. Brother Branham said, the Holy Spirit warned us that in the last days that the church would get away from sincerity and faith. They'd have a form of godliness, but would deny the power that went with the right thing. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Brother Rand said, God hates a powerless religion. It's not what He wants. What does God want, Brother John? A Book of Acts church. That's the original. That's what we strive for. That's what we must be. That's what we're going to be.
Amen.
Another place he says, God hates powerless religion. It's got to have power in it. It's got to have sincerity. Sincerity brings power. Sincerity brings real worship. Not forms, but genuine power of worship to know that you pass from death into life. God wants to perform His Word. See, it's not just enough to have His Word. We need His Word to be executed, to be manifested. Wants to perform His Word by His power. And when the church denies His power, how can He perform and vindicate His Word? When the church explains it away and says it's for another day, how can God, who wants to fulfill His Word, performing His Word amongst His people, and the people denies it, and yet they go through all the rituals? Someone said to me, well, don't you think, Brother John, that means the power to live an overcoming life? I said, yes, of course. But are you saying it doesn't include the same power that Jesus said would be in us? Don't you love that tabernacle in the wilderness? There's a picture that has the tribes on all four sides. Have you ever seen it?
Amen.
It's got the tabernacle. It's got the pillar of fire hanging there. That pillar of fire represents the visible presence of God.
Amen.
Over His people. And on all sides was the tribes. And the 12 tribes. And the lead tribes had banners. And those banners were the ox, the man, the eagle, right? And the lion. And they tied back to the four Gospels. And Brother Branham's teaching about that was basically the Gospels protect the Book of Acts church. In other words, the Scripture in the Gospels protects that faith and that belief that the Book of Acts church is the way it should be.
Amen.
Praise God. I love that.
Amen.
How about Gideon?
Amen.
You got to love Gideon, right? The angel comes to him and says, thou mighty man of valor. He said, if God be with us, where's all the miracles?
Yes.
I like that. I like Gideon. Did you know Brother Graham? And he preached a sermon called, if God be with us, where are the miracles? He talks about Gideon, and over and over and over again, he says, what a scriptural man Gideon was. Because he knew if God was there, miracles would be there too. That should be our expectation. We're contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Amen. We don't accept anything less than that. It may be less than that, but we don't accept that. Our expectation is for something more.
Amen.
How scriptural that is. Where the supernatural is, God and His sign would be with Him. Where God is, God's sign. We know that. If He's in His people, they do His signs. You know, we're promised the Book of Acts church. Right? How many times did he tell the story of that tree out in Arizona? I've seen one of those trees myself. It's an orange tree, but it's grafted in a lemon branch and grafted in some other kind of branch. And the tree is an orange tree, but the grafted branches in produce every year. They produce what that was. And he's typed that denominationalism. The original tree, the Christian tree, denominations grafted in. And they just produce denominational children, fruit, right? But if that original tree, he said, ever puts forth its own branch, it'll produce oranges. It'll produce a Book of Acts church. That's why you're here. That's why you were born. That's why you're on this earth, to manifest God. Not to know more than somebody else. We got enough know-it-alls in the world. We got plenty of know-it-alls around the message. It's a disease. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He'll exalt you with His power. He'll use you to manifest literally what's in His Word. That's why we're here. That was the purpose of the message. Not a bunch of head knowledge. India trip report, he says, preach the gospel. The gospel isn't word only, but through power and manifestations of the Holy Ghost would produce the signs of Mark 16. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. These signs shall follow them. The word itself, now listen, the word itself is dead. You can have the word and it's dead. Many people say, you got the word? We got the word. The word itself is dead until it becomes into an action and produces life. See, without the Holy Spirit, the word is nothing. Oh, they're going to throw you out of church for saying that. Listen, we don't want just the letter of the word. The Spirit gives life. The Spirit comes on the word and produces what the word says. We're contending for the faith. Praise God. God help us today. If God be with us, where's all the supernatural? Where's the true faith of God? Where's the real love of God? Where is the bride of Jesus Christ? I believe she's right here. A portion of that bride is right here. And the Holy Spirit's trying to help you through the ministry, to help you understand who you are, help you understand what God's trying to do in your life. Praise God. That's why, let me step back. That's why if you yield to your flesh and you do some carnal thing, you're grieved in yourself. Because that's not why you're here. You're not here for that. Now what do you do, son or daughter of God, if you sin against God and you find yourself in sin and you're convicted? You repent. And you look to Calvary. And the Bible said if you confess your sin, He's faithful to forgive you of your sin. And then you got to believe that. Because the devil will come back in your mind and say, look what you did. You say, yeah, I did it. But I repented and I confessed my sin. And He's faithful just to forgive me. And then you get back on your feet again. And you get back on the right track as soon as you can come into your right mind. Just, you know, as soon as you know in your heart that you're wrong, just say, God, forgive me. God sees you.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like the prodigal son. You know, that father, he was looking for his son. And the son's down there with the pigs. And he's ready to eat the pig swine. And here today we have sons and daughters of God eating the trash of the world. And they're like, what am I doing? This is not for me. This is not why I'm here. This is not my purpose. And then he turns back. He says, if I go back to my father, I'll tell him that I'm not worthy to be a son. See, the right attitude. I'm not worthy to be a son, but just call me a servant. Let me do your will. Just let me be near you. Just let me do what you want. I just want to get back with you. That's the right attitude, you see. And so when he comes back and he gets with and the father sees him, he comes running. He comes running to him. Do you realize the moment that you feel conviction and you say, God, I'm wrong, he's running to you. He embraces you. He wants you to fulfill that purpose for your life. God, help us to believe it. I love that story of the prodigal son. And you know, the other son, it's actually, there was two sons there. When I go to youth camps and stuff, I use that parable, but I call it two sons. Two sons. Because we always focus on the prodigal son. We always focus on the one that goes out and comes back. But the greatest testimony for our kids is to stay with Jesus their whole life. That's the greater testimony. Yeah. Not to go out and get all stained up by the devil and come back. Yes, we want everybody to come back. But the greater testimony is to serve God your whole life.
Yes.
Maybe it's not as flashy, but it's better. Yeah. Right? So the other son, he was very near his father. He's working hard. But his heart was far from his father. And it testifies to that because when the prodigal came back, he was mad, no mercy, no compassion, right? No forgiveness. And also, he said, he complained. He says, hey, I've been here and you never gave me a kid to go be with my friends. See, his heart was not to be with his father, but it was to go be with his friends and do something else. And here now we got a sinner coming back saying, I just want to be with you today. Call me a servant. I just want to be close to you. God help us to come back. You could be in church your whole life and be far from God. You need to repent.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Is it 2 hours? Time yet? How are we doing? There's no clock here. We've entered eternity. Listen, I realize that 6-hour sermon taught me something. The worst death is to be dragged to death, and I'm never going to do that. So praise the Lord. God knows how to teach people, right? Anyway, I believe we have a promise of a latter rain.
Amen.
Spoken word is the original seed. It's a wonderful sermon. If you haven't heard it, you should hear it. If you've already heard it, listen to it again. He said things in there he never said anywhere else. He said, I'm going to say it once and I'm not going to say it again. There are promises and prophecies to this end time church. God is going to manifest himself in a powerful way.
Amen.
Powerful way. You know, it probably won't be the most famous. It'll probably be those hidden ones that believe God and love God with all their heart. See, because remember back in the book of Acts, Peter, do you remember when Paul had to withstand Peter to his face because he was eating with the Gentiles? And then when the big name preachers came into town, he had to withdraw himself? Why would Peter withdraw himself? Just because the big name preachers came into town. He was intimidated by them. But you know what I find amazing today? We don't know their names. They knew their names back then. Oh, the big shots are coming into town. That which is exalted by man is abomination to God.
Amen.
See, the way up is down. And Peter, who felt very little, withdrawing himself, we know his name. I love that. Don't, that which is highly esteemed among the message ranks, don't think that God esteems that. God esteems a humble heart that loves Him and believes the Word of God and is contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Praise God. We have a promise of a latter rain. Former rain was a teaching rain and a manifestation. That was Brother Branham's ministry. He said there will come a latter rain upon that seed that was planted. And at that time, the latter rain would sweep the world and there will be a great manifestation. I believe, brothers and sisters, in my heart, that there's coming such a manifestation. We won't even fully understand what's happening at the time. God will be in control. He'll take control of our being. It's not going to be left up to our ability to finish this right. You read your Bible. It's not beneath our God to get involved supernaturally when he has to.
Amen.
You know, he's got angels that he sends when he needs to.
Right.
Don't be surprised when angels come on the scene.
Amen.
They're here already. They like to look into what's happening. But they're going to become visible when it's necessary. God is going to interrupt your life and say, this is how it's going to be done.
Amen.
You look at all the third pool manifestations. They were sovereign by God.
Amen.
Stand up on your feet.
Amen.
speak, whatever you say shall be. That's going to happen again. It could be a humble wife. Oh, not the women. No, the women are second. Who was the first at the tomb, right? God always picks that which is belittled by man, and he exalts it. So say, well, I'm just a humble wife. I just obey my husband. I take care of my kids. That's a big thing in God's eyes, right? I'm just a humble man. I don't really do anything special, you know. Listen, serve God with all your heart. There's wonderful things ahead for us. I believe it. Because God loves last-minute rescues. And I'll finish with this thought, but look at Esther. Don't you love the story of Esther? You know, she was kind of hidden in that place. They didn't realize she was a Jew. And here's Haman, the bad guy, right? He hates the Jews. And the devil still hates the Jews. And the devil hates you. He hates the children of God. Anybody chosen by God, he hates you. So, Haman, you know the story, but to me, what I want you to see is God's perfect timing. God's perfect timing. Haman looked like he had an advantage. It looked like the king was like asleep, and Haman's doing all these bad things. It looked pretty bad. The conditions looked bad, bad, bad. Kind of like today. It looks bad. Don't join that train. Things are bad. Things are bad, bad, bad. No, things are good. God is on our side. See, so things look bad, and Haman set up a gallows. He builds a gallows to kill Mordecai. And he's going to the king. Just picture God's perfect timing. He's going to the king to get permission to kill Mordecai. And the king's sitting there reading in his history, hey, this Mordecai saved me. He got those two guys. And what? Was anything done for this guy? No, nothing was done. And then the king is thinking right at that moment, I got to do something for this guy. And Haman appears in the outer court to kill that guy that the king was about to exalt.
Amen.
So he says, who's out there? It's Haman. Haman comes in. He said, Haman, look at the timing. What would you do to the man that the king seeks to honor? And Haman's so full of himself, he goes, well, he must be talking about me. Right? See, the devil is completely set up here.
Yes.
if he really understood what was going on, he would have never killed him on the cross.
Amen.
He wouldn't have let one drop of blood fall from Calvary. But he doesn't understand.
That's right.
He hammers you every day, and it's just a tool in the hand of God.
Amen.
God's going to have his way. So Haman comes in. He says, well, I put a crown on his head, the robe, and I have somebody go out through the town and saying, this is the man that came. He goes, great. You do it for Mordecai. He's just, do you imagine his face dropping? Yes, sir. Can you imagine going through the town? This is the man that the king seeks to. He wanted that crown. He wanted that crown. He wanted to. And then we know the story when he comes in there and Ruth, you know, Esther, she exposes him, and God's perfect timing. Say, where's God? You know, we all feel like that sometimes. Where's God? Where are you? He hears you. Though he tarry, yet he'll come.
Yes.
You maybe need healing. Okay, if you don't get it today, God's still a healer.
Amen.
Just keep claiming it.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord, for that. I'll give you a testimony. A sister back home, she had high blood pressure, 230 over 120 or something. She couldn't even lay down. Her pressure in her head was so high. And she had a little daughter. Her husband had took off, and she's raising this little girl on her own. She was from Malaysia. Very quiet sister. She comes to me. She says, hey, I went to my eye doctor, and he told me I better go to my regular doctor. He saw blood pressure in her eyes. So she goes to the red doctor, 230. If anybody's a nurse, you know, like, she said, they said I could have a stroke and die. I said, sister, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, I got 7, I can raise another one. But I said, let's believe God.
Amen.
Let's believe God, sister. So we prayed for her. Time went on. And I remember preaching on a Sunday, and I purposed to put oil in my pocket and anoint her with oil, do everything we can, right? I didn't preach about healing that day, but at the end of the service, she was sitting on this side and she raised her hand like this. Sister Grace was her name. She raised her hand and she said, and I said, "Yes, sister." It wasn't out of order. It was at the end of the service. I was about to pray. And she stood up. Never forget it. Very quiet. She says, "I just want to thank the Lord for healing me."
Amen.
Now, I knew she still had every symptom. But what was she doing?
All right.
She was doing exactly what Brother Branham taught us to do.
Amen.
Said, God can't do anything for you until you first confess He's already done it.
Amen.
I'm saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Now, if you're really down and you're feeling blue and the devil's attacking your mind and you're all alone, just speak it out loud. I do it all the time. I'm saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me.
Amen.
I mean, you may look crazy to someone that observes that behavior, but it's all right.
Amen.
It really works. The devil hates that. Amen. Profess your faith. And if you're sick and no matter what, all things are possible if we only believe. Speak it out. Thank you, Lord, for healing me.
Amen.
Though you feel every symptom. Remember the blind guy come up in the prayer line? He prayed for him and he went on. And he come back in the prayer line. He says, "I already prayed for you." He says, "But I still can't see." He says, "That has nothing to do with it. You said you believed it." "I do believe it. What should I do?" "Praise God for healing you."
Amen.
And that guy interrupted the meetings. "Praise God for healing me." He's in the middle of the preaching. "Praise God for healing me." And the ushers wanted to sit him down. He said, "No, I told him to do that. Just leave him alone." He didn't get healed in the meetings. It was after the meetings. He was in the barber chair, right? And the barber said, "Oh, I heard you got healed down at those meetings." He was making fun of him. "Praise God for healing me." And his eyes went open. He went running down the street with the barber chair.
Amen.
God is a healer. Faith. It's faith. We're contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints.
Amen.
Praise God. I know. I need to finish. Don't drag to death. Look at the woman in Elijah. And she was fixing her last meal. And Elijah comes on the scene. He saves her at the last minute. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Where was God? They said, "King, doesn't matter whether God saves us or not, we're not going to bow down." Oof, gotta love that.
Amen.
Whether He comes or not, I'm going to stand for Him. That's the kind of faith we need. God, you know, He took so much pleasure in that testimony, He came Himself. He was the fourth man in the fire.
Amen.
And what did the fire do to them? It didn't even get on them. The smell didn't get on them. It just set the chains off.
Amen.
See, and they actually talked to Jesus.
Amen.
See, trials get us closer to Jesus. There's a reason for trials. Praise God. Moses at the Red Sea, it looked very bad, right? Pharaoh's coming down, the chariots trapped by the Red Sea, looks really bad. Our God, whether you realize it or not, loves last minute rescues. He loves that dramatic rescue at the end. And that's the way it's going to be. There's coming another dramatic rescue. So you just make sure you're contending for that faith that was once delivered. Make sure you hold fast to that which is true. Abraham and Isaac. Oh, I love that. How about Abraham offering Isaac? And I'll finish with this, I promise. Abraham, he's got Isaac, and he's got the knife. And he goes, now, listen. When he lifted that knife to kill Isaac, he didn't go, "Here I am, killing my son. God, I'm being obedient." No, he went up to go down. Because he believed. He received him as one from the dead, 25 years. And that God was able to raise him up.
Amen.
I and the lad go yonder and we're coming back, both of us. That's faith. That's faith of Abraham. So, but I want you to see something. He raises up to take it down and God stops him. Wait. I see your faith. And what happened? In the end of the day, God provided for himself a sacrifice. The ram was caught in the thicket. That was created there, right? It would have died by the animals and everything. But right at that time, God provided for himself.
Amen.
I know we beat up ourselves. The devil beats us up. Sometimes we beat up each other. But in the end of the day, God provided a lamb. That's why we're going to make it. Let's all stand.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Sorry to take so long, Tommy. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Lord, you see my heart. I believe that standing before me is a portion of that bride that you called before the foundation of the world, Lord. Oh God, bless them, Lord. Set them free from every evil spirit. Set their minds free, Lord. Set their hearts free to worship you, Lord Jesus. May the true love of God fill them up to overflowing, Lord. May they have such a love one for another. You said, by this shall all men know that they're my disciples, when they have love one for another. Lord, your love is a self-sacrificing love. Fill us with that love. Bless each one here today. Lord, if there's one that's not saved today here, Lord, I can't save them. You are the Savior, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you go to them right now. You stir their hearts and help them to see their need, that they're lost. They need to embrace the cross and believe that you took their place, oh God. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Lord, there's one sick and need healing in their body. Lord, you were tied to that post and that whip struck your back and made stripes. But the Word of God says, by those stripes we were healed. Amen. We've already been healed. Help us to appropriate that faith, Lord, to grasp a hold and believe that we're saved and we're healed. And Lord, you promised us, you said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Lord, it's your promise. We thank you for your promise. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. Bless each one here today. Oh God, we need you, Lord, today. Move in our midst, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed for a moment, listen, if you need something from God today, just lift your hand up right where you are. Just lift your hand and say, God, I need you. You see what I need, Lord. I don't need anybody to put their hands on me, Lord. I need you to put your hands on me. I need your Spirit to touch me, oh God, with the hands raised up, my hands too. Heavenly Father, Lord, you see our hands, oh God. Touch us, Lord. You see our needs, oh God. Forgive us. Fill us, Lord. Heal our bodies. Seal us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord, there's one hunger for a great experience, a greater experience. That's because you ordained them to have a greater experience, oh God. Grant, Lord, give it to every one of us, Lord, today. I committed it to your hands, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Do you love him today?
Amen.
Amen. So you have a song on your heart? Amen. Jesus breaks every fetter. Do you sing
that? Amen.
Jesus breaks every fetter.